irredeemable and not American.
Trump said anyone who hates Americans that much is not qualified to be president. Extreme violence continuing in Chicago. As of Monday, over 3,000 people shot so far this year, more than all that were shot in 2015. On the South Side alone, 324 shootings so far this year. USA Radio News.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
That's negative, Control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly and seamlessly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. I've made contact before. In fact, according to J.D. Power, they've provided award-winning client service for 6 years in a row.
Roger that, QL1. It's nice to know they're out there, wherever they are.
Detroit Control. They're in Detroit. Over.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Observers are concerned about the federal government leaving out portions of a report on the San Bernardino terrorist attack.
Law enforcement officials say they are not 100% certain that three San Bernardino County employees were rushing the two gunmen during the shooting rampage, or they were trying to escape the violence when they were gunned down in December of 2015. Investigators say the stories came from witnesses, but they can't confirm who the three employees were. Those two specific details were left out of a report released Friday by the feds called Bringing Calm to Chaos. The terror attack left 14 people dead and 22 others hurt. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
Three Phoenix area police officers were covering after a driver apparently tried to run them down at a gas station early today. Investigators say the suspect struck two officers standing in a parking lot and then rammed his car into the front of a convenience store. A third officer was hurt in a struggle with the driver who was arrested. Phoenix police say all four people were treated for injuries. More news online at usaradionews.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
QL1, this is Control, checking in to see how excited you are for launch. Over.
Well, actually, I'm kind of bored.
You're about to travel 17,000 miles per hour through Earth's atmosphere and you're bored?
It just doesn't sound that exciting after using Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I was able to get a completely online custom mortgage approval in minutes.
Wow, that is impressive.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
With the attention on Hillary Clinton's health, many are asking what would happen if a nominated candidate for president has to drop out of the race. Here's more from correspondent Chris Barnes.
In light of concerns about Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton's health, many people are asking, so what happens if a presidential candidate drops out of a race because of an illness or some such reason? A law professor with McGeorge School of Law in Sacramento, John Sims, says he has the answer.
What would probably happen is the Democratic National Committee would indicate who the replacement was. I mean, I guess we'd assume Tim Kaine, but who knows? Then, they'd, of course, if it were Kaine, they'd have to put in a vice presidential nominee.
Sims says the Republican National Committee would use the same procedure if Donald Trump was to drop out of the race. Many Democrats believe that if it happened with Hillary Clinton this year, Democrats would probably tap Joe Biden to replace her. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The National Transportation Safety Board releasing a report on an airliner that slid off a runway in New York.
Tower, you have an aircraft off 31.
Delta 1086 from Atlanta slammed into a fence overlooking Flushing Bay.
And make no mistake, this was a very close call.
NTSB Chair Christopher Hart says the pilots got information that was hours out of date.
As the airplane descended through the clouds, the flight crew did not expect to see that the runway, which had recently been cleared, was covered with snow.
Investigators think the captain overcompensated using reverse thrust too soon, but the crew also took too long to evacuate with fuel leaking.
The lead flight attendant permitted passengers to retrieve their winter outerwear.
USA Radio News.
Hey, this is Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters, and I'm sitting here with Mark Selleck, and we're going to get started in about 2 minutes. So, first of all, let me give you a little about what's happening weather-wise. It's sort of starting to feel like fall. I don't know if you get out and walk like I do in the morning, but I had to go back and get a jacket yesterday, so that's good news. 83 degrees right now. It's going to be 62 overnight. Tomorrow's going to be 88, 55 overnight, 75 the next day. Starting to feel like fall, 51 overnight. I think we're out of it, guys. I think it's happening. So hang in there. I think we're going to be sleeping with the windows open and the air conditioner off by next weekend. I'm going to go to a few paid commercials and we'll be right back.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, it's Joe Peters again. You heard my commercial, so you know what I do. I don't have to tell you that. I do real estate across Hunterdon and Somerset County with Weichert, and I am sitting here today talking about the future of Hunterdon County with Mark Selleck. And I'm going to have Mark introduce himself. And why don't you tell us a little about your background, where you went to school, and how you got to where we are today?
Sure. All right. Well, that's a mouthful right there. But good afternoon, Joe, and thanks for having me on. I began as Hunterdon County's Economic Development Director back in late March, and basically been spending the first 5-6 months on the job getting a better understanding of the community. You really can't make intelligent decisions about the direction or programs that will be effective until you really know what I just call the three P's. You got to know the place, the politics, and the people. And so that's what I've been working on during this time while we try to put together the programs that will eventually become the Economic Development Initiative. So, prior to that, I was an economic development director out in Dark County, Ohio, another border community. So not on the side that of the state of Ohio that people think about from this perspective. I was way out border with community with Indiana. And Dark County was part of the Dayton Metro. And a couple claims to fame that would put that place on the map in people's minds was is one that Annie Oakley was from there. And a lot of people know her. And the other thing about it was that the KitchenAid stand mixer was made there. So the KitchenAid headquarters of the Whirlpool division was based in Dark County, Ohio. And so therefore, every KitchenAid stand mixer and most of their other appliances were built right there in Dark County. So that kind of helps people with, oh, okay, that's something that they do.
So how long were you there in Dark County?
I was out in Dark County for about 10 years or so, but I was economic development director for 6 years. And to a few years before that, I was doing what you're doing right there across from me. I was ran a radio show, was news director for a radio station, and had a talk show, and was on the air a lot. So
Nate. Well, welcome, welcome. Where'd you go to school at, Mark?
University of Florida.
Nice. Tallahassee?
No, that's Gainesville.
That's Gainesville. So you were
I'm a Gator.
You're a Gator. Okay.
Florida State's a Seminole.
Get them mixed up.
And I am a true blue Gator in the sense that not only did I get my education there, but I was actually born on campus while my parents were getting their degree there previous. So
isn't that amazing?
That's right.
Maryland's son graduated, and that's what they call a swamp, right?
You got it.
Yeah, because we had to go to graduation at 8:30 in the morning because it was too hot after 10 to graduate. So,
that's right.
And then we walked out on a swamp, almost died. It was so hot. And it's in Jacksonville, I guess, or
Gainesville. Gainesville,
On the way up towards Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's in that north Florida area, but hotter than Jacksonville because it's so far inland.
Okay.
So the heat kind of settles in over the area, hence the name the Swamp. So,
the Swamp. Got it.
You got
it. And some really good players. I mean, Marilyn is a big Tebow fan. And now that he's going to go do baseball, she wants to go to the Mets. Last year she was playing for the Phillies. We went to see the Phillies training camp. He never seems to make it the regular season. I mean, you can't throw sidearm. Joe Pisarcik was the last guy to try, and that was 73 for the Giants. But whatever. He's a good Christian. He's a good man, and she really likes the guy. So your education was in?
My education was in political science.
Wow.
And
so you're going to be a lawyer.
Know, actually, I was going to be a lawyer. That was a thought process when school started. And that didn't happen. What ended up happening was to pay for school while I was getting my degree, I was running restaurants. And back when I was getting my degree in the very early 90s, just basically as the 90s was coming into fruition, Atlanta was the place everyone in the South was moving to. This was pre-Olympics and pre a lot of things in Atlanta. It was really on the upswing. And so I got my degree, and rather than going back to school for a graduate degree, the idea was that I would move to Atlanta and I would run restaurants and continue to manage restaurants for a few years, save some money, and go back and get my law degree. Well, I think it was either Jim Morrison or John Lennon that said, life's what's happens to you while you're making other plans. I never got back to that degree.
So many of us think the same thing, I'll tell you. Your challenge, we had Mark at our – I'm with Weikert and Clinton. And Weikert and Clinton's got about 110 agents, about 30 of them we can't find at any one given time. And the other 80, about 50 of them attend a meeting. So we had a meeting this morning, and Mark and Suzanne and Holtz came to the meeting along with – I guess you work for Susan?
Sue DeMera, the head of the Department of Planning. For Huntington County.
And it was an interesting meeting because realtors are not – they don't sit on their hands, okay? When they get a question, it's coming out their mouth, usually before you're done talking. And they presented what the overall situation is in Huntington County to our realtors this morning, got a healthy exchange of questions, and I had to cut it short at 45 minutes because we just were out of time. So I think we're sort of going to replay a little bit now of some of the things that were discussed this morning. I mean, we started, and I've had Al War on, and we read Al War's article over the radio, and then we never had call in, but Al said, until we get jobs in Huntington County, we're in deep sneakers. We're sort of losing population. We're having a hard time keeping the people that are here, especially the younger generation. The older people are going to Pennsylvania because it's cheaper to live in Upper Black Eddy than it is in Huntington County. We have this general erosion of headcount in Huntington County leading towards some situations. So Why don't I, rather than ask you a bunch of questions, just have you talk for a couple of minutes
sure.
on what you encountered when you came here and how different that was from Darr County, Ohio.
Actually, one of the reasons that I was interested in the opportunity and that I think I got the opportunity was because there was a lot of similarities.
Okay.
This is a startup economic development effort that is designed to address some particular issues in an environment that was posed to me as having particular challenges. And the fact is that a lot of those items were very similar to the challenges and the environment problems that I faced when we started the Economic Development Initiative in Darr County, Ohio.
Okay.
So there was actually a lot of similarities, and a lot of similarities to the counties to the extent that they had steep historical traditions in the areas that they are in, and deep agricultural heritage, right. A lot of respect for land. And so that's about where the similarity ends. But overall, if you talked about starting what we faced when we started the effort in Darr County back in 2008, 2009, a lot of the factors are fairly similar to what it looks like is faced here. So there is a lot of overlap, but I don't like to assume that things that worked in one area
right.
of the country are automatically going to work in another.
Right.
So hence, I still went through that great familiarization process that's culminated here in the last
yep.
6 months. And during that time, I've probably talked the county's ears off. Hopefully, I've listened
yep.
As well. But I've met with probably about 18 of the municipalities at this point, over 40 businesses, a lot of the school districts, a number of the organizations, as well as the state and regional entities that have an impact on how things play out in Hunterdon, and then a swath of individuals across areas that make up how things play out here too, like developers and so on and so forth. So that's what's been going on. But partly during that time, what I've been trying to do is get to some kind of conclusion about how to prioritize the issues that were presented when the county famously, did the STEDS effort over the last 18 months or the 18 months previous to my hire. And that is the
STEDS stands for
county, Comprehensive Economic Development
study
for
okay.
the county. And that essentially was a report that was commissioned by the freeholders to get a snapshot in time as to the condition of the county, what are the issues that were faced, some suggestions as to routes to go to begin to address some
right.
of these problems. And as the freeholders told your group this morning, it's really the first time in 302 years that the county has taken the approach to
wow.
try to get all hands on deck to address the economic development situation. And so if I had to say at this point in time, and of course a lot of what is going on is still in development, and
right.
there's a lot of input from a lot of folks we still need to get and assimilate before I were to come back on here and say, all right, Joe, we've launched this program, and
yep.
here's what we expect.
Yep.
But to me, a lot of it comes down to a couple of key things in that report, and that has to be.
So I just finished, the listeners who have listened to me before know I was involved in Leadership Hunterdon, which is a nine-month program where they drop us through each one of nine segments of the county. And I realized that our fastest-growing age cohort, they call it 10-year, 75 to 85, is our fastest-growing. I mean, that's sort of an interesting – and 85 to 95 isn't doing bad right behind it.
Right.
So we are generally getting older, and it appears from our study that – we're losing the under 35s, and when you get to 65, if you don't have a financial or family nexus here in the county, you're probably going elsewhere too. So we're keeping people that are 65, and then a few of them a little longer, but most people are leaving at that point in time as well. And that is probably a dangerous combination of future to have going into the future, just general people getting older.
Sure, it really is, especially if you're not attracting those younger folks, and certainly if not retaining them,
right.
because there becomes nobody starting families here.
Right.
You're not replenishing the school systems. It becomes a problem for the older generation when it comes to who's going to buy your house.
Yep.
How's the rateable base going to be affected? And therefore, it in turn, if you have a declining economy and declining disposable income, then you've got declining industrial base as well. So it ends up being quite a problem for those folks that are left.
Yep.
Becomes a downward spiral. And getting to that age issue, the freeholders did pass out some really revealing numbers earlier today. I've got a list in front of me of the median ages in 80, 90, 2000, and 2010 for each of the townships. And some of the changes are quite startling. If you look, for example, at Alexandria, the township had a median age in 1980 of 32.5, was up to 40.2 in 2000, and then in 2010 was 45.5, and presumably, based on all indicators, is even higher right now. So it really does come back to this point. What do we do to create a sustainable future for Hunterdon that involves being able to have opportunities for young people here, career jobs, good-paying jobs, that give them a long-term way to stay here, raise families here, put kids in school here, buy homes, and so on, and continue to stimulate the economy?
So my study that I got involved in saw this from different facets. One was education, one was employment, one was housing, one was medical, and then the other was something to do, entertainment. So why don't we run through a couple of these? I mean, first of all, we seem to have the right education in that we have a very good high school system. Polytech is part of our high school, which isn't done that way anywhere else in the state. So you can start high school, go through Polytech, pick up your services, come back, finish high school, and go on to a junior college, all in the same school. And then the junior college, which is RRVCC, is on the border of Hunterdon and Somerset, although it's really all the way into Somerset by about a mile. And it's got some really good programs. So you can get all the way through your second year. You can get your first year accomplished while in high school, and your second year can be done in the course of two summers and a normal school year. And then you can go on to a four-year college. But what we were seeing was once you go to the four-year college, that's where we lose people. They're just moving out of the county because we don't have the jobs for them to come back. We can sort of support the 2 years, but we have a tough time attracting back to 4 years, or what we call millennials.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's an issue. And that's why a strategy moving forward that addresses the issue of us primarily only creating low-wage jobs in recent years is the way to go, because you're just not going to pull four-year degree graduates back with low-paying jobs. So what we want to do is be able to target particular industries that correlate well with growth industries in New Jersey, that are industries that are appropriate for growth in Hunterdon County. And those are generally going to be industries that leave a very small footprint and a small drain on resources, et cetera, that fit within the context of the culture and the regulatory environment here that values land, and rightfully so. But there's a wide swath of industries in those areas that have a small print, have a small footprint, have a high wage, and are in line with growth industries in New Jersey. A lot of that growth in those areas has been occurring very naturally with no particular kind of plan. You know, as an example, a company called Marathon Pharmaceuticals came to Clinton Township in 2015. And I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to that company. I don't know exactly why they came here. But there's a couple of companies in recent years that fit that mold that chose Hunterdon as location. And that was without us even having a coordinated plan for attraction or branding the county in that way or marketing the county in that way.
Wow.
So we like to think that if we do those things, we can do a little bit more than just a residual attraction. We have a planned approach to it. We have a structure and a system that supports job growth in those areas that hopefully we can have success in generating those. And it all leads back to what you were talking about. The idea is to stop educating our kids for export purposes only. We want to be able to give them a top flight education like Hunterdon schools already do, but then have opportunity for them right here in their own backyard.
So what are some of the other job classifications that you came up with that fit that mold?
That's a conversation that's ongoing right now.
Okay.
If I were to start picking particular industries, I would probably be just guessing.
Yeah.
I think there's good hunches, but the fact is that we've done no study yet. The stage that this effort is at is that, again, the first 6 months has been a lot of information gathering, building of partnerships, putting the team together, and getting a model together and that I'm alluding to here to some extent. To move forward with that can put a lot of people on the same page addressing the same issues oriented towards these goals we're talking about.
Okay.
That may culminate as recently as next week. There is a steering committee for this SEDS effort.
So I'm like a week early.
Yeah. So, well, I'm going to talk to that group. And I think once we get general consensus on direction, we'll be able to start looking at a lot of these things. But obviously, we're talking about technological areas that harness brain power. I don't think anyone's going to bring up the idea of bringing in giant assembly plants or chemical companies, et cetera.
It just doesn't fit us.
Even if it was something that was desired by the public, there's so many reasons why that doesn't fit us. So I think what people are going to see is the emphasis is going to be on what industries create long-term job opportunities. That's the kind of growth we're looking at.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Because one of the things we witnessed as part of doing our study was just what you were seeing is that we were running specific schools. Del Valle runs a computer school. Hunter and North runs a medical school. There's one or two others that are geared towards four-year degrees. And who's to stop a parent or a child of that parent from wanting their kid to have a four-year degree and be gone? You can't stop that. What we need to have is some way that we can bring those people back once they have their four-year degrees, even if it's 5 or 10 years after they have the four-year degrees. Because I what I'd call on board families into Hunterdon County every year, probably 4 to 6 on the average. And they're typically between their first and second kid, looking to nest, looking to get out of a county that they don't find desirable. I even have people, and I encounter two of them, looking from Warren County, from the Peaburg area, saying, I'd like to get back. And there's nothing wrong with Peaburg, other than they were school teachers, and they just didn't want to live in their school zone, and they thought that the western part of Hunterdon County offered some better options than actually being in Warren County. They're both great places to live. I talked to a lot of the educators about this. We have some terrific programs, but are they all put together with the intent of keeping the people in Hunterdon County that come through them? And the answer is, I don't think it's been really thought out.
Yeah, and I've had some conversation with a couple of the school district at this point, and they're all very excited about this idea of going after some of the better wage positions in some of these growth areas, and they believe they can be a part of generating solutions for us. We haven't gotten into too many specifics yet. We've really been more assembling the team. But, yeah, the idea would be at some point in some manner that's helpful to all the partners involved with putting this kind of thing together would be to create some career pathways that correlate very well with these targeted industry areas that we'd like to grow.
Right.
So that if we're growing particular industries and there's success to be had in these particular industries, a lot of the exposure and awareness programs that kids can get going through school will align well with these opportunities. What that looks like at this point, it's hard to say. But in terms of getting kids to come back after they get their degree or have some degree of early career success later, there's a lot of ways to get that done. And a way, or at least a part of a way, that was worked well in our effort in Western Ohio, and I say Western Ohio because there's a lot of partnering between economic development organizations in a lot of the Midwest states. So even if you're operating on a county level, by the time you end up intermingling with other districts, you end up working on a regional level. So anyone is listening who's interested in this kind of thing, I would say go to a website called hometownopportunity.com. And that was a 3-county website that focused on making sure that we matched our local talent in that area with local opportunity. And what we found is a lot of people didn't know about the jobs that were in their own backyard. Mm. And what we put it together just to make sure that if somebody was living 10 miles down the road from one of our major manufacturers, that they at least looked at the jobs there before they looked 50 miles away.
Right.
But interestingly enough, the more we promoted and grew that website, we ended up finding that by having a concentrated source of job opportunities for the area in one place that was kept up very well and accessible, we started getting people from all over the country calling us and then emailing in and saying, you know what, Mark or Jared or whoever the economic development director was that they were talking to, we've been living in Kansas. I got an engineering degree, and I've lived in Kansas for 8 years now. I never knew how many engineering job opportunities there were back in that part, back in my own backyard. I'm from Dark County, Ohio.
Wow.
I'm from Mercer County, Ohio. And I never knew there was this much opportunity. Now I'm looking at that website, and I'm realizing I can move home.
So it's outreach.
So, yeah, it's outreach. And then what we would also do is we hired a person that went out to college job fairs, et cetera, and they would show the kids all the opportunities. So all of a sudden, the amount of kids that went to Ohio State that came back home to apply their skills,
right,
was that percentage was going up simply because we had someone there representing those opportunities. So is that the way it happens here? Again, I can't say that yet. The team hasn't spoken. But there are ways to reach out to your students and your population after they've left the area and pull them back in.
Right. So I guess what I'm seeing is what we talked about earlier, a natural migration to the east, to the New York area for the four-year degrees. They want to live in Hoboken, Jersey City. But at the same time, I'm seeing not necessarily them coming back, but others coming back when they're ready to nest, when they're really ready to start a family and they don't mind driving another 10 or 15 miles, because that's required if you're going to live in Huntington County versus Somerset County. So let's put all of that on a hold yet, go to a few more paid commercials, and we'll be back in a few, and we're going to get into a few of the other parts of the spectrum.
Good morning, Huntington. This is Big C coming to you from HuntingtonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Huntington kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Huntington County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Huntington, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Huntington is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Huntington at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Huntington, the voice for mental health in Huntington County.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, that was another paid commercial, so we're back. It's Joe Peters from Weichert, and I'm sitting with Mark Salek from Huntington County at this point in time, but formerly from Ohio and formerly from Philadelphia. So he's gotten around. He's
formerly from
fan.
A lot of places.
Yeah. He's an Eagles fan. I'm a Giants fan. We're going to the Giants-Eagles game then November 2nd, and you know what, it's just a healthy whatever competition.
That's right.
I think, you know, why do kids play sports in school? They eat up all that Earth's energy. I mean, is really, does anybody become a star? One or two will, but most of them, it's just to give them something to do. And something
I don't know that either one of those teams have particularly high aspirations this year anyway, yeah. So it's all going to be in good fun.
Yeah.
If the Super Bowl was on the line, we might have a little conflict, though.
I hear you. So we talked a little about the people coming out of college at the 24, 25-year mark and coming back. And I don't think Mark or I see that happening in the short term, but in the long term, we'd like to foster that to be part of our growth of the county. But we do see people coming back in the 35 to 40-year. And talk a little about that, because you have some profound thinking.
Yeah, I think that there's nothing wrong with that. There's the buzzword around the country right now is millennials.
Right.
And millennials is, you know, it
so
basically, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what millennials are. The age group that's millennials is essentially 19 to 34. And as fast as technology changes society these days, generations really should be broken up even in tighter time frames than that,
right.
Frankly, because 19 to 24-year-olds are really not a lot like 30 to 34-year-olds.
No.
But nonetheless, the oldest millennials are moving into middle age at this point. The buzzword, the idea of needing 20-somethings to reinvigorate your society at the base level is an old concept, I believe, at this point. What are some of the things that people talk about with millennials? Well, they're putting off getting married. They're putting off buying homes. They're putting
right.
off childbirth. That is a trend that started in my generation. I'm 47. I'm Generation X, back in yep. the middle of it. That trend started very strongly with us to a large extent, but there wasn't the same access to information that there was back then, and we're a smaller generation, so those trends weren't as well documented.
Right.
But the bottom line is, if you look at my group of friends at this age of 47, a number of them intend to work 25 to 30 more years. They are looking to buy a house for the first time, maybe their second house as
yep.
they move up in family size. They've got kids that are 5, 6, and 7 years old.
Right.
So this idea that only 20-year-olds can give you long-term stability in terms of putting kids in your school district,
right.
being a part of your community for a long time, and still buying houses and cars, et cetera, it's an outdated concept. If there's nothing wrong, and again, we're going to try to attract young people, but more particularly retain our young people.
Yep.
But the fact is, there's also nothing wrong with being the place that millennials move to after they're done becoming being millennials.
Right.
We can build a future on that kind of workforce attraction as well.
And it's interesting because, I mean, some of the demographics I've seen recently say that our average first-time buyer has moved from 29 to 37 years old
there
over the
go.
Last 10 years, not even 10. And secondly, if you take a look at the home ownership in New Jersey, 73% of our homes have no children of school age in them, 53% don't have two people in them, and 30-plus percent are single women.
Hmm.
So that in itself is a gigantic dynamic shift in what we have as far as New Jersey homeowners. Now, people look at me and say, well, no wonder things are changing. Well, things are changing. We have in Hunterdon County, and we're going to get back on track in a second, no problem selling houses under 400. 4 to 5, still move. Get over 5, it's a challenge because we're not earning that kind of money here anymore. And one of the things besides losing population, in general, the population from 1980 to 2005, for those 25 years, moved to the West. And starting with the recession, the tide rescinded. And it not only rescinded through Hunterdon County, it's gone pretty much through Somerset County. We don't have the people moving out that we used to. So now we need to attract people. So we not only have holding on to the millennials when they come out of college, we have bringing them back when they're being done millennials. We have a lot of people in their 50s that their job has changed to the point where there's no job for them anymore. And they're here in Hunterdon County because they bought 25 years ago. And it's where their heart is at. And we've had a couple of discussions of how do we best employ them to help Hunterdon County out.
Yeah. When you have a workforce development initiative going, the idea is the traditional interpretation of that is the things we've talked about so far, aligning training with your growing industries, career pathway coordination, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of it is just having an all-hands-on-deck mentality.
Right.
In the Midwest – in the programs we had out there, it was getting offenders back to work because you could have
a guy on the sideline for a very minor violation, but he could be the best welder in the world.
Right.
And obviously, past the point where they've repaid their debt to society, you don't want somebody like that sitting on the sidelines. You want mm-hmm. him to be a contributing member of society. The same thing applies here to maybe some of the seniors. And, of course, 50 is not a senior or right. 55, but just the older population in general. There's people that have achieved a lot in their life that might be here that could have solutions for a lot of the things that we're working on. So why not try to employ them and get them into the fold in terms of coming up with economic development solutions, being a part of these efforts we're talking here today, right. or just bringing them back into the workforce somehow. There's actually there's started to spring up in the last environment I was in, actual temp agencies that focused on placement of 50 plus. So again, it was this idea of getting folks back into the workforce. And you mentioned something earlier about the percentage of single mother households.
Right.
That's a quiet epidemic across this nation. Again, I'll use the Midwest as an example because there was slightly more of a tendency in the Midwest population for some of the percentage of the women, of the female population to, if they were in school and they met their husband in school, it was usually the female that would drop out and defer their career growth to the male.
Yeah.
So what will happen, though, with unfortunately the divorce rate the way it is in this country, 20 years later, you've got a large group of women coming back onto the job market that didn't finish their degree
right.
and don't have a lot of experience. Well, there's a lot of very good quality workers in that group.
Yes.
So there's a lot of effort underway to harness that. So getting to your point, the idea is to have all hands on deck, whether it be in the workforce or be part of generating solutions. And we
right.
have to get programs in place that make sure that anyone who's willing to be a part of the solution can be a part of the solution.
So we talked about the 20s, the 30s, the 40s and 50s. The next group we've got are the 60s and 70s, and we're seeing them sort of say, if I don't have a tie down to Huntington County, I'm probably going to leave because it's cheaper to live elsewhere. Tax-wise, cost of living-wise, I interviewed the fellow that runs the Wright Ford Funeral Parlor on this show, and he said that so many people go to Pennsylvania, just into Bucks County a little bit, into Upper Black Eddy, those areas, and then come back here when they die to be buried with the family. I said, that's profound. We're driving them just out of because of the expenses. And he says, nobody's doing it on purpose, but it's happening. That's, to me, those people, I mean, I'm over 70 myself. So, you know, I look at, we can utilize those people. We can have those people help us rectify what's wrong with the county, even if they drive back from Upper Black Eddy to do it. There's talent there, as long as we find ways to employ that talent.
Absolutely. And that's why, ideally, we'd like to grow this economic development initiative with as many partners as we can. The freeholders put this in place for it to be comprehensive, for it to be systemic, and we'd like to put solutions in place that, again, has that all-hands-on-deck mentality. Hey, there's no reason to duplicate anything. The fact is, this is an educated place. There's a lot of good people here. There's a lot of experience here. And somewhere in this county already are the answers to most of the problems that we've got on the table right now. I think I said it to your group this morning. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be an economic development director, but what you want to be good at doing is weaving partnerships and getting good teams in place to help generate solutions. And we have the answers here.
Right.
We just need to get the team in place to help us get there.
You know, it was interesting. I think I mentioned this once before. I interviewed Bonnie Duncan, who runs the
United Way.
United Way.
There we go.
And I said, how can United Way help the seniors? And she said, you're looking at it backwards. It's how can the seniors help the United Way?
There you go.
We put them to work helping, do taxes, do counseling. It was a wonderful outlook. It changed my – I said this morning, you're going to come in looking like this, you're going to go out thinking like that,
mm-hmm.
and I'm showing just opposites. Bonnie changed my thinking with that, and I'm saying what a wonderful way to reemploy the talent that's here and the people that have some time and are – you know, a lot of times by the time you're 55, you've put some assets away. You've got hopefully – the house paid down a little bit, and you can still afford to live here, but you need something to do. And if you don't have something to do, you're going to go someplace where you find something to do. I think what we need to be able to do is help find them something to do, and it sounds like you're right on course of it. So let's go for that same spectrum on housing. When we get a millennial coming into Hunterdon County, out of college, the few that do come in, they're looking at, for a single-bedroom apartment, $1,200 to $1,400. And that means they probably have to earn somewhere in the $50,000 range, which is not what they're earning. It may be what they're going to earn in a year or two, but it's not what they're earning. So as a result, we find them going closer to work, so they don't have to commute so far, and the cost isn't really much more, and they just save all the commuting.
Right.
I don't know how to resolve it, but I do know we need more lower-cost rentals to attract people in, especially in a two-bedroom classification. The two bedrooms that we've built in the last few years have been in the $1,800 classification, which is above what these people could afford.
Yeah, and I'm no authority on this area yet, again, having still playing the role here of assimilating a lot of the information about New Jersey and the local environment across the board, whether it be housing or jobs, et cetera. But it's interesting, though, getting to what you said. I did look online recently, and Time Magazine did a study where they showed the average salary that 2016 college graduates were getting in a number of degree areas that the general public, I'm sure, would consider desirable to have in this area. Mm-hmm. And the wages are smaller than people think. And if you apply that formula that says you shouldn't be spending more than 30% of your income on housing, a lot of these degrees do not really allow for some of these graduates to live in Hunterdon in large numbers, because the $1,800 range you just talked about is above what they should right. be spending. So you're talking about a group of folks that are recent business graduates, maybe recent computer science graduates, that aren't quite earning the money that it takes to be able to live comfortably here. So there is potentially a gap there when you look at what some of these degrees pay and what is available here in Hunterdon County.
But isn't it true that it's going to cost more the further east you go? I mean, it's probably – people. Jeff Otto, you say you drive that you can afford it. A lot of people drove all the way to Pennsylvania at one point. They used to drive all the way to Hunterdon, and I was sort of stopping at Somerset. What do they do? They live with mom and dad. That's one answer.
Sure.
And that's happened over the last 10 years, and we're starting to see them come out of living in the rec room, as we called it, because they didn't have a job. Now they're back to work. They built some credit up. They need a little bit of assets, a little bit of credit, a little bit of job history before they can buy a house. And then they come out and say, well, I'm going to rent. Well, there's no rentals. We're less than 2% vacancy rate in the state of New Jersey right now. Hunterdon County is probably even less than that. So what I do is I meet somebody who's looking at renting something for $1,200. And say you could buy it cheaper and rent it if you take the tax considerations into it. So I try to step them up. But then even if they're able to do that, the next step is, okay, now I want a single family house. It's pretty hard to find something under $250,000-$300,000 in Hunterdon County. And in order to afford a house that's $250,000-$300,000 in Hunterdon County, you're probably 10 years out of college in salary. 10 years out of a four-year college.
And people have to keep in mind this generation coming out of school right now is saddled with debt in a way that you and I just can't relate to. And that affects, obviously, every part of their daily life, but certainly their credit and their ability to get mortgages.
Well,
and
I heard the two guys from Rutgers that wrote the Receding Perimeter talk at the Somerset Chamber about 2 years ago. I think one of them's passed on since then. But they said that the average debt carried is about $350 a month for people coming out of college. And they were talking about them not being able to afford a car, because that would be their car payment. So they're dependent on mass transportation, something we do not have or have very, very minimal amounts of. So if you're going to live in Hunterdon County, you need a car. And if you're going to live in Hunterdon County and own a house, you need a job where you don't have to commute that far, or you're going to have a good car to get to some sort of mass transportation. You can get bus service along 78 and back into the more dense populations. It's an issue. And then it steps up a notch, because the next house you buy is in a threes and fours. And I got to tell you, within Hunterdon County, we can sell anything up into the fours with relative ease. But you get over 500, I've got a lot of disappointed people thinking, why can't I sell my house? Nobody's even looking at it. And the answer is we don't have the salaries anymore where people can come in and buy those houses in mass. I've sold several in the 700s this year. So there's still a market, but there's not the market that there once was. So when you're selling a house in the fives, you're competing against houses that were six and sevens 2 or 5 years ago, and they're nicer than yours, and they're a little more desperate than yours. They're willing to take a price cut, and you're just caught in a syndrome that's headed in the wrong direction. I guess that's the definition of a syndrome. We're looking at reasonable expectations through the low fives and above the fives, into the sixes, into the sevens. It's really tough to sell your house, and that's becoming the norm.
Well, and that's why it all comes back to keeping our folks here and keeping them here employed in industries that have room to grow in the New Jersey environment and with positions that pay very well.
Right.
So they can get to the point over a period of time where they can move into homes like that. In the long haul. And a part of it isn't even just about attracting those kind of businesses here. I'd like to have a homegrown element to it, too. And I know here in the chamber offices, they're thinking that way, too, looking at a lot of entrepreneurial efforts. They can lost the county's economic development programs doing the same thing. There are ways to foster entrepreneurialism in those targeted industry areas that we're looking at so that hopefully, again, we can grow some of these higher paid long-term career opportunities for our folks as well. And we don't need, and Freeholder Holt said this very well this morning, we're not looking to change the landscape of Hunterdon County. We don't need monumental change across the board. We only need incremental change. If you talk to anyone about development here in the county, you're probably not going to run across anyone who wants us to go from 125,000 to 200,000 people. We're talking about just simply reversing some of these trends we talked about earlier and being able to keep more of our young right. folk or just people here in general in good opportunities for longer. And those, and to impact the numbers we're talking about, we might only be talking about small changes, perhaps just maybe keeping 5 to 6% more of our student body here instead of leaving alone could impact some of those pretty strongly.
I got to tell you, we're having in real estate our best year ever. And last year was our best year ever as of last year. And next year is forecast to be twice as good as this year. So even though, in my opinion, the economy in New Jersey is not doing that well, I base that on 5 out of 7 most having a negative added jobs. And secondly, the fact that there's this confidence built on a feeling that we're coming out of it. And I think in the general area we're at, we're really not coming out of it. We're built on the overall Northeast confidence, and Northeast lags the rest of the country even.
Of course, everyone has it's hard to ever say the populace has confidence during election year, though, too.
That's true.
Everyone gets the willies when that happens. So maybe even better next year after things settle down.
It's an extraordinary year right down to the elections. right down to the elections. And I'm not going to comment on either side.
It
almost gets funnier every day. I can't even decide who the guys are, the pundits, the guy like John The Daily Show, who's the other one? Stephen Colbert. He sounds like a Democrat now. I was like, God bless you. You've switched polarity. Then the one last thing on housing is now you're a senior. And a senior typically has been living in their house 20, 30 years. They've moved up a couple of times. They typically trade a house every 7 to 10 years. And once they get to the 50s, they sort of do what we call Archie Bunker out. They stay there till they're ready to downsize. Probably don't spend a lot of money in that period of time. But now they've been in the house a while. They've got some equity built up. They have a $600,000 house, and they've got $300,000 in equity. They want to take that equity and buy a 55-plus and stay in Hunterdon County. We ain't got it. There's very, very few. So our average sale, according to the study I did for the document that you read, said our average sale for 55-plus is $475,000. If you go to the Toll Rovers on Route 22 in Reddington, you're looking in the $550 to $650 for the 55-plus. One antithesis of it is the Flemington Fields, where you can buy into there very nicely in the under $350, but there's not a lot of them. So we're driving those people into you go just into Pennsylvania, and it is much cheaper to live, even if you're renting or buying in a 55-plus. So that's an important consideration as well.
And it's a good point you bring up, because the freeholders also make that point. It's interesting. That's an overlap with baby boomers and millennials. The fact is, if you're a baby boomer stepping back from your larger house, you might be looking for the same kind of housing stock that some of the older millennials are looking at. So there's a commonality that if we can make some of the changes or address some of the needs you're referring to, we're actually satisfying the needs of two generations.
Right. But interesting, in Hunterdon County, with very few exceptions, we haven't built one new house in 10 years. So we're feeding off the existing housing. And the existing housing, it's working up to the mid-fours, low fives. After that, it's atrophying on us, if there's a plural of that word or past tense of that word. It's a complex problem. We need jobs. We need houses that match the jobs. And then the third part and fourth part, we need something to do in healthcare to match. I think our study said healthcare is going in the right direction. I mean, we've got a wonderful healthcare system, and in effect, we've got the healthcare workers. It's our best business segment. I think 11% of our county is healthcare employed at this point in time, and we have school systems to feed that. So that's a good example of feeding back healthcare into healthcare. But where do you feed the computer science grads back? They don't. They're going out. They're going to Morris County at best. At worst, they're going all the way to New York. And then the other point is, what do you do? And you have a very funny anecdote about this, because I've had Marilyn's son came back after he graduated college. He said, there's nothing to do. And you got to drive 20 miles to go to a movie. And you said, well, how'd you like to drive 2.5 hours to go to a McDonald's? And, you know, there's degrees of nothing to do. Where you came from in Ohio, it was a lot less to do.
Yeah, formerly, before, if I had moved here, my whole life prior to moving out to Ohio was in Philadelphia, New York, Miami, Atlanta, and Washington, D.C. So if I'd come directly to Hunterdon from that experience, I might be in that camp.
Right.
But having moved out to the Ohio-Indiana border, I can tell you there's a ton of things to do relative to certain areas of the country. So it is all relative, like you said.
Yeah. And, you know, I empathize with the kids, because I know when I was that age, I wanted something to do. We moved here in 98 because of the bucolic nature of Hunterdon County, and we love nature, and we've always bought a house because of the property, not because of the house. We've always lived on 3 acres, and somewhere about 5 years ago, we sold our mega mansion and started renting. And as a realtor, should I tell you I'm starting to rent? But I did, because we decided we didn't know what we wanted to do, and it was right after the recession, and Marilyn said, at best, the last thing we need is another bad investment. So we decided not to buy and to rent, and we're at a point now where we're thinking maybe, because we can't find a single floor 55 plus at a reasonable price, maybe we'll buy a quarter of an acre lot if that's possible and put up a small ranch on it. And that will be our retirement house. Yeah, we won't have somebody shoveling our walk, but I'll have to pay for somebody to do it and cutting the grass. It's sort of taking it into your own hands. Our thinking is we love the county. We're not going to leave it. But at the same time, we don't want to be tied down to a house and be doing all weekend work on the house. Somebody just said on my Facebook site, are you people ever home? I said, we try not to be. You know, it's like last weekend we happened to go to the 9/11 thing, not even thinking it was the anniversary the weekend after. This weekend we went down to shore and had dinner down at one of the finer seafood restaurants in Brielle. And we just love to go do that. We're at the age where we're enjoying ourselves, and we want the discretionary time and money. So owning a home is a challenge, and people now can't sell their house, and they're waiting till they get their price, and the price is dropping while they're waiting, and it's a tough set of news to break to them.
It is, you know, but in terms of getting to that point about things to do, because that is part of setting the stage for the future, of course, there's probably very few places in the country that to an 18 to 22-year-old have enough to do.
Right.
So we can't really orient ourselves just to that demographic, because that demographic is always going to be what that demographic is. But we really do have a lot to do for a 30-year-old professional with the family.
Right.
And we've got to do a better job of branding up what that looks like to Hunterdon, what the Hunterdon identity is, and getting out to the world. And that's a big part of the engine and the model we're trying to put together. We want to grow those targeted industries. We need the kind of workers that are going to be employed in that.
Right.
And if you look at Hunterdon County and you look at what we have to market here from a tourism point of view, we've got great walkable communities. We've got very cool river towns. We've got great arts community. We've got the whole farm to table. right in the heart of the beast of the whole farm-to-table movement.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of cachet to that. Plus, we've got the healthy living component. We've got great outdoor activities. The fact is that there's a cool factor that can come with that. And as we promote tourism and maximize those assets, I really think a lot of that is going to serve to attract the kind of workforce we need to fuel those industries we want to grow and attract the kind of younger CEO that's looking to start a lot of those right. smaller businesses as well. And that's why I want to have as many tools as placed as we can to support that when those folks get here. But meanwhile, creating a 100 brand to help attract those folks to start with and leverage what we've got, that's an important thing. And Joe, that becomes so noticeable when you come into this community and you talk to neighboring New Jersey areas, is that there's not a 100 brand. There's a Lambertville brand. There's a Clinton brand. There may be a brand with some of her individual companies like a winery or something like right. that. But to the outside world, they're coming in for those one yep. hits at a time. Yep. They're not making the connection that all of that is within the Hunterdon County realm. You can come into Lambertville, and then you can hit any number of things on the way out and then stop in Clinton too. So we've got to do a good job of making sure all those things that people like about us are connected with that Hunterdon County name.
And that's, I think, where our white paper wound up to. We called it a reason, Hunterdon County, a reason to come, a reason to stay. And it's built around agritourism.